We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am here, as always, with the indescribable, although I will keep trying, Rohan Kadi. And Rohan, we have some very special guests, so I will ask you how you're doing in just a moment. But first, the hosts of the legendary already Spinsters podcast here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network, which I've already said, very proud to be a part of, especially right now, Haley O'Shaughnessy and Jordan Liggins. So Haley, Jordan, and Rohan, how's it going?
Oh, that was such a sweet introduction. Thank you.
That was. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
We are happy to have you. I am doing fantastic. Indescribable. That's good. We had some people on Twitter saying I should be called the adjective because of this little thing we do in the intro, but I don't know. I think it could catch on. But
it's an old school nickname. That's why I like it. I feel like it's now nicknames are just like people's initials, which is kind of lame. Or like if they have a unibrow, it's the brow. So, and actually AD is now just AD. So it's really just initials. So I like
AD,
the
AD, cash doll, who cares?
Oh, wow. We got there way too quickly. Rohan, ask the first question. Let's just not.
Okay. KD. So we have you guys out here. We want to get a good perspective on, obviously, because this is a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, but sometimes I feel like we get a little too in our heads in terms of our own little bubble, I should say, in terms of like a Bucks bubble. But we've been talking a lot this season about how Milwaukee has made a lot of, you know, schematic changes, which is what we wanted to see during this offseason because they did not end up making a head coaching change. So, you know what? Might as well see if the coach can actually make some changes to this team. We have seen some changes in terms of the coaching style this season. We've seen some offensive adjustments. We've seen defensive adjustments. Personnel has obviously been adjusted. So I'll open the floor with this. Are these changes enough to take Milwaukee over the hump this season?
Okay, you have to define the hump for us to answer that.
Like,
question.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. At least get to the finals. At least get to the finals.
Ooh.
Haley, you want to take that one? All I can think about, I know that Jordan and I were talking about this right before, all we can think about is the Nuggets game.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
That left such a sour taste in my mouth. Just purely, I mean, it's all relative because when I'm saying that, I'm saying you think of the Bucks in terms of how far can they actually get. It is tough. I was talking to someone the other day about the Celtics and how their success in the playoffs the last couple of years is not going to be remembered that way. 5 years from now, if you look back at how far they made it, you're not really going to think about that as an accomplishment more than you are, well, they're the Celtics and they have all these great players and Kyrie never happened for them. And so it's a huge disappointment. So with that in mind, the Nuggets loss makes it tough. I mean, that zone defense made it virtually impossible for the Bucks to score threes. When there are huge flaws like that, that stand out right away, that's a really big concern for me. But I mean, the things you were just talking about, the switching, what else did you say?
They've done a lot of switching on defense. They've made offensive adjustments in terms of getting more outlets to Giannis and Chris when they're getting doubled, especially Drew Holiday. That's the big addition that sort of he brings as another ball handler, a competent ball handler, and he's more than competent, but mm-hmm. just another outlet for those two to get to create like second on secondary actions when Giannis and Chris are sort of doubled. So like those sort of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And Drew is probably the biggest for me, but the Bucks went to the second round last year and the conference finals the year before that. What would you say of all those things you just mentioned was their biggest improvement from this year over last, if you had to single out one, and would that have won the series against the Heat?
That's a good question. I feel like Haley got a harder question to us than we got to her. I think we need to level up our interviewing game. That's a great question.
Because I'm genuinely curious, because it's really hard for teams like Milwaukee. I mean, Jordan knows this as a Lakers fan. When the expectations are high, everything in between as you're trying to make it to the very top is excruciating. I mean, you guys have Giannis signed on for the long run and still you're like, God, are we going to get over the fucking hump? You have Giannis.
Yeah.
You know? But I completely understand where you're coming from. But that's why these tiny things make so much, why they're so important.
I think maybe, I don't know, that Heat series was just like such a confluence of awful things for the Bucks, given like the Heat were such a good defensive team, and especially with bigger players who could defend, whether it was Jay Crowder, who's been like a sneakily big loss for them. Obviously, Bam Adebayo is terrific at just about everything. And they also were like the perfect bubble team, right? Like I think, and I don't want to discredit them. I've seen some people get way too takey. Like they didn't earn their finals. They totally did. They took two games off the Lakers. Great team, blah, blah, blah. Let me get all that respect out of the way. Like they kind of love the grind in a way I think a lot of teams didn't in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Like they were working out super hard the whole time and definitely everything else. And I think like they kind of lived for it. And a lot of the other teams, I mean, the Bucks almost left, right? I think the Lakers talked about leaving at times. A bunch of teams were so conflicted. And I'm not saying, you know, the Heat aren't invested in these causes that the other teams were thinking about. I just think they were very well adapted to handle the bubble. That's hashtag Heat culture. So I don't know if you transport Drew Holiday onto that team and take away George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. I mean, taking away Bledsoe would probably help. But Wes Matthews wasn't allowed to play in the fourth quarter.
The eye rolls on this podcast just now.
I was like,
just
want
to note that. Sorry, proceed. I just had to note that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Wes Matthews, Bud, wouldn't play in the fourth quarters against Jimmy Butler for some indescribable reason anyway, so maybe his loss wouldn't have hurt. I don't know. I think they would have been better, certainly. I think they are equipped to be better now, even if their record isn't as good as it has been in most years, just because they're not as deep and they're actually figuring things out. I don't know. Right now, I don't love their chances in that series. Rohan, what do you think, Rohan? Would they beat that Heat team right now?
In terms of just straight personnel, like keep the same coaching style, keep the same everything in terms of actual basketball, but just switch out the personnel, I do not think they win that playoff series if you put this team in that situation.
Which is kind of wild, right?
It is. Yeah. Because Heat just were like, an doesn't absolute just seem weird? Buzzsaw for them. It does. It really does. That's why I feared that Heat matchup all season long, because Miami plays the exact way that would just make Milwaukee's life hell. And that's what happened. We saw that exactly happen. And that's because the main two pieces are going to be the same in Giannis and Chris. How they're used, though, is what's really the difference here. If we're talking about just Giannis attacking from the top of the key just over and over again in the Miami series, they're not going to win that series again.
Yeah.
However, if you get more face-ups on like the elbow, if you get more split actions with Drew and Chris coming off of the Giannis screen, if you get more of that happening, plus like you can get like Dante DiVincenzo in the dunker spot, you can get Bobby Portis actually providing off the bench in terms of like his role in terms of face-up jumpers and stuff like that. If you do that, I feel like they have a solid chance in that series.
Okay, I like that take. I want to hear Jordan's Laker fan perspective on the Bucks right now, because obviously, you know, there's general NBA watching, which I feel like Haley does extraordinarily well. But coming from a specific kind of lens like that, it's part, you know, let me watch this team to see. And I feel like there's always a little part of you that's like, and I do this when I watch other teams play. How do the Bucks stack up? How would the Bucks handle this Lakers team? Whatever. So, what are your thoughts on the Bucks this season and how they're looking?
Yeah, well, thank you for giving us Wesley Matthews, who occasionally will shoot a shot, but we just need him for defense, and yeah. That's why, you know, we're number one in defense. Just saying. I think that it's exactly what you're talking about with Giannis just attacking from the top of the key over and over and over. To me, that's what makes them so beatable in the playoffs, is that's not going to win you a championship to beat a team, you know, out of a 7-game series. And what you're talking about, adjustments, those in-game adjustments, going back to that Nuggets game, why aren't you, you know, they went on a zone. You need to go
going back to things the Heat on the series.
Yeah, adjustments. Yeah. And I know that that's your problem with your head coach right now. Yep. Sorry. No, but that's going to be a big thing. That's going to get you over the hump. And with personnel, you need another person. I love Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton, sometimes. But you need another person.
What?
I'm sorry. He's not going to win you a ring. No.
Well, alone, but...
Not alone, but that's what I'm saying. You need another person. And even though you have the MVP on your team, you need someone else. That's what I think.
So my thoughts on Chris have gotten more and more kind of complex and convoluted as we've gone on. I think this is something we campaigned super hard for Chris to get all-star votes. Obviously knew he wasn't going to start. We just wanted him listed with the top 10. It just felt like, come on, like he's good. Let's get him up there.
Classic
with,
small market team.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Just, my thing last year was I just want Wes Matthews to get one second team all defense vote. I don't think he got there. I was a little disappointed, but I clearly don't have the platform that we pretend to have here on the Eurostep podcast. But what was I saying? Oh, Chris Middleton. He had a really bad run capitalized by back-to-back stinkers against the Raptors. And something Rohan and I touched on is kind of like moments like that where he will just not shoot enough or, you know, get doubled and just look completely flustered kind of does prove the, and I don't mean to call you a hater, but the anti-Chris Middleton crowd that say he is not good enough, right? Like there was this big surge of Chris Middleton love of like, who cares about a Zach LaVine or a Bradley Beal? Look at how efficient Chris Middleton is. He's a good defender. He's an okay defender these days. He's not as good as he used to be. Still fine, but not a great defender. But I digress. But I think there is more value than a lot of Bucks and Chris Middleton fans put on, you know, he can go get a shot every single, or like player X can go get a shot every single time. Whereas sometimes Chris will just like get passive and not shoot and, you know, have back-to-back-to-back-to-back less than 20-point games. Pains me to say this all as a avowed Chris Middleton stan, but I do think there's something there. This kind of gets into question, a later question we had for you all of who is Milwaukee's best player, and kind of tied to that, like, can those two combine to be good enough to be the second best guy? Can they be co-second bananas, so to speak? So I'd love to hear whoever wants to tackle that first. There's like five questions in there. I'm sorry, but any part you want to go after, I'd love to hear.
Let's go
about
with
it.
Who's Milwaukee's second best player?
Oh, I thought you said best player, and I was
No. Yeah, we got that part figured out.
Not Giannis.
Have you seen Torrey Craig lately?
It's Chris. It's Chris. My opinion is it's Chris. I think that sometimes, I'm not saying this with any of the things that you just said or what Jordan said, we overthink things. I think that's it with Chris Middleton. I think he is wonderful. This is the other thing, though, is that when you're saying, well, he's not enough, it never really gets specific enough. He's not enough for what? To be the second best player on a championship team? That's a hard thing to say because on many championship teams, players 3, 4, and 5 matter so much, or your bench matters so much. So I have a hard time with that. I love Chris Middleton. I do think that he is, yeah, undoubtedly their second best player. I also love Drew, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say Drew Holiday. I think they needed that true point guard, and I love how he is their floor general. I think that he makes their team better when he's on the floor and he's running the offense and not having Giannis bring the ball up all the time. Like, you need a point guard. And that's not just pure bias because I was a former point guard. I truly think that every NBA team needs one.
No, I feel like that's true more and more now because I've been watching Jrue Holiday more and more now. It's just, he brings such a calming presence. I've been saying this all year long. Just this, the style in which he plays, like Eric Bledsoe, so erratic in terms of play style. Like, I don't even mean that as like a diss or anything.
Man leads an erratic life.
He does.
He does. But it works in some teams. It doesn't work when you're trying to be the third banana on a title team. Like, that's not what you need to be. So that's why, you know, he's not there anymore. So Jrue Holiday, he just brings such a calming presence. And he's actually, we've been talking, he like bullies Bud a lot. Like, I don't know if we talked about this on the pod already, but there's been evidence shown, like he said that he called the last play in that Clippers game, that Giannis dagger dunk. He called that play, not Bud. Like, he was like, oh, we should get this set going. And it's like, okay, cool. And he's also like previously in the season being like, hey, why don't we just switch on defense? Like, I can handle this.
We like to simulate the conversations at practice where he like introduces it and the rest of the team is like, you're allowed to do that? And he's like, yeah, of course you are. Like,
that's a defensive
true
style.
True point guard.
Seriously.
Coach on the floor.
So like, I think Chris Middleton is definitely Milwaukee's second best player. Jrue Holiday is their second most important.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about it. I'm going to have to digest that take. I don't know how I feel about that take. That's interesting.
I love nuances like that. They're fair.
Yeah.
We are too general in basketball, I tend to think. So before he went to Milwaukee, I wrote a piece on Jrue Holiday, and basically it was like a bunch of people saying we always thought he would be so much more successful. And then some of that was just well received. Some of that was like obviously health issues. What were your impressions of him then versus now, him having been on your team? Because it's like once you know about him, you're obsessed with him. It's like the new band that like nobody else knows about, except for it's been going on for over a decade and it's an NBA player.
I love that comp. I think first off the court, like the coolest guy ever, the absolute coolest guy ever. I know he donated all of his bubble salary. I think now he's doing, I know now he's doing a ton more. I think he just won, Rohan, you called this out last pod, the February NBA Cares Award.
Yeah, because he's doing a lot with Black-owned businesses in Milwaukee in terms of like getting them more publicity. I think he's donating a portion of his salary this season there. So just Jrue and Lauren Holiday, before anything else, just fantastic human beings. Fantastic human beings.
Yes, totally.
Hard
so
agree.
Yeah, so
we
that
love their love.
It's awesome. They seem like the most wholesome people, especially after everything they've been through. It's so cool to see that they're just so still great people and giving to everyone around them. But I didn't think he was this good. So I think the defense pleasantly surprised me. Like, I knew he was a great all-world defender. I thought, you know, getting a little bit older, I think he's around 30, 31 years old. So clearly, I mean, and players play forever now, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But I thought he had stepped back a little bit. He's been even better on defense than I expected. Offensively, though, he's like a really capable shooter. And I think the percentages haven't always been great for him. I think this year they're still very good, although I think he's like 0 for his last 8 as he returns from COVID. So it might be lower now. But I think the key difference between he and Bledsoe, I mean, there's a few of them. And I don't mean to trash Eric Bledsoe, but it's been a profound difference. Like, it's really striking on a very common game-to-game basis. And I think in addition to all the other Bledsoe stuff that Rohan alluded to and that we've covered, just clearly not like a true shooter, right? Like, he would take shots. The percentages weren't good. But like, he didn't look like a shooter. Even if Jrue is having a game where he's not hitting all his threes, he's a shooter, right? Like, there's just a difference. You can see it the way he pulls his step backs. Like, you actually believe they're going to go in. And I think even more so than his true shooting percentage or whatever, like, psychologically, I think that's big because obviously the one thing Giannis doesn't do consistently is hit jumpers or hit shots outside of the paint. So
wait, is that true?
that is true. Every podcast we have something where I say it and then either myself or Rohan has to catch it and say hot take. I think one time we had DJ Augustine is not Giannis. Was that one of them? Yeah, that was scientifically proven. So yeah, this is a little more contentious than that. I think this is harder to determine, but yeah, that is true. Thank you for verifying. But like Bledsoe not being a legit shooter made Giannis's, you know, one limitation on offense look even worse. With Drew Holiday, it's just not the same. So I'd say, to answer your question and take forever about it, he's been way better than I expected. And I wholeheartedly thought all the picks, all the players, as good as they may have been, were worth it, because like the third guy is just so important. And Milwaukee just had nothing. Like, Brooke Lopez stepped up in a nice way, but they lost 4-1 in the last playoffs. And you just needed someone else on that tier, especially if Chris was going to have a quiet game. And Drew Holiday has been everything. I'd like to see him be even more aggressive on offense, but I think he's kind of trying to fit into that hierarchy a little bit too. So I'm confident in the playoffs he's going to be an even better version of himself. And he's just been awesome. I'm so glad he's a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah, I didn't realize Drew was a stopper, like an actual stopper on defense. I thought he was like a great point guard defender. But Jordan, you were talking about this earlier and saying like, oh, thank you for Wes Matthews for the defense. Wes Matthews was the Bucks stopper last season. And while he's good, he's really good. He's really good at that. Like, last season, he was one of the best isolation defenders. In he was guarding LeBron. He was guarding Kawhi. He was taking every best matchup. Drew Holiday is just an upgrade. You can throw him on legitimately, maybe not legitimately anyone, but like at least 1 through 3, anyone, maybe 1 through 4. And he'll shut them down. Like, he'll make life hell for them. So that's what I did not realize going in. I did not realize that Drew was just like I'm going to lock you down now type of defender.
Friend of the podcast, Laz Jackson, has nicknamed him Hell Prison because the Bucks played the Pistons like 40 times earlier this season. And he would love tweeting about how the Pistons young guards keep getting thrown in Hell Prison. And it's just really not fair for them. And I just love that nickname so much. It's very aggressive, but I think it's fitting.
That is like the most aggressive possible.
That's what I was going to say.
Anything with hell in it, anything with prison in it. They don't even go together. If you're in prison.
I know, like the worst thing.
Yeah, it's redundant almost. Wow, what a nickname.
But I think it works because like being defended by Drew Holiday would make me feel like that. Like, I wouldn't want to do it. Sometimes I'll tweet when he'll like lock somebody up and take the basketball. I'd be like, throw me in a pit of snakes before I have to dribble a basketball around Drew Holiday. Like, I don't want it. It looks terrible. I'm not interested in doing that. So
yeah, like theoretically I could get out of a pit full of snakes. Like theoretically, like once every like 100 chances, maybe that's high odds.
That's a little,
depends on,
but I'm not.
Yeah, it does depend.
Drew
on
Holiday
snakes.
Is not. Like, he's taking the ball from me every time. There is no chance of me getting past that. So
that's
maybe
why I asked that, because
option.
he's presented by players and coaches and then fans who love him as the NBA's best kept secret. And it's so weird to hear a veteran presented that way. But it is true. Like, once you watch him over and over and over again, you begin to fall in love with those little things.
Would Mike Conley be kind of a player you think is on that level? I feel like everybody loves Mike Conley, even though I think zero-time All-Star, because obviously he plays in the West.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, anytime players and coaches have respect for a player and they're like, this guy just doesn't get enough attention paid to him, that's definitely been Mike Conley in the past. It's been Drew Holiday. It's like, okay, maybe we should start paying attention to them. Yeah.
The most disrespected player in the NBA, though, is Devin Booker. So.
Devin Booker, man. Yeah. After the ejection, ooh, I feel like...
Yeah, I was going to say, last night was just...
That was
cherry
weird.
On top.
That was so weird. I tried to figure out what happened for so long. And I went on this show, and we were talking about it live. And I was still trying to figure it out as I was looking it up. And I finally found the play. And I was like, thank God, because we're like about to go on the show. And I still could not figure out what happened. When I watched the play, I had to like rewatch it a bunch of times. That was bizarre.
I think he said something that must have just been insane.
Yeah, but then the bounce pass, I didn't really feel like that was that aggressive. And then the ref that he threw it at didn't give him the tech. That was also the craziest part.
That was very confusing.
It was the adjacent ref that gave him that tech. But
nothing good comes of a cross-court call of any kind, right? Like, if you're not the ref in front of the play, please don't blow the whistle, man. Just don't. Leave it up to the other ref. Like, trust your teammates. Let's get some more team chemistry on the NBA officials. Adam Silver's going to fine me $25,000 for that comment. Speaking of one last thing on Booker, I think this is like, there's kind of an empty gym syndrome thing of like the refs hear too much right now. I know that's the theory that's been going around of like, you know, maybe an MF-er dropped – in full arenas, you don't hear it as clearly. Mm. I think the refs kind of feel a little bit more victimized by those things in the empty or partially empty gyms.
It's like the opposite of what's happening to us at work, because when I'm on meetings, I can just play mute.
Exactly.
Walk around. Instead, everything is like very, very, very audible for them.
Yeah, yes. They, the players can't get away from the officiating right now. Hey, everybody. We will get back to our terrific conversation with Haley and Jordan of Spinsters in just a second. But first, a quick word from our fantastic podcast partners. Hey, everyone. I just want to take a second to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle is created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level, or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of all that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other... If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts. Other listening platforms, including wherever you're listening to the Eurostep. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join, or you can check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join. Okay, back to the episode.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talked about snakes earlier, so let's talk about Kevin Durant and the Nets. Had to do it.
Had to do it.
Wow. I came way back to it.
This podcast is brought to you by Cash Doll.
We got back to Cash Doll. Good. It's not even really a KD question. I mean, it sort of is. I'd love to just pick both of your brains. I mean, this isn't as much of a Bucks question as it is just an Eastern Conference question. We talked about the Celtics earlier. The Raptors are kind of regaining the form if they ever get their team back. But all these teams, but right now, 1-2 in the East, I believe is Philly, Brooklyn, or Brooklyn, Philly. I think Philly's still one. Cupcake schedule, but I digress. Who do you two think out of those two is the bigger threat? I mean, obviously, I feel like the gut reaction is just to go Nets because just look at the roster. It's insane. But Philly's been a lot better than they've been in years past. So I think this is still kind of a question. I don't know. Maybe it's a dumb question.
Jordan, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it is Philly. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but I think it is Philly. Just because Embiid is playing out of his mind right now. Like, I think he is so determined to get further and further in the playoffs. And if the Bucks are in the way, he's going to run them over. Like, I think he's so focused from these last 2 years of you know, losing in pivotal times, I think that they can make it far. But I kind of want to see the series with the Nets only because of James Harden comment that he made about Giannis. I just think that would be amazing if we can just play that on a loop, like every single game. I loved that. So that would be more entertaining, I think. But Philly poses more of a threat to me.
Jordan's definitely more of like she can visualize things that I definitely can't.
Stop.
No, seriously, because with me, it's like my gut reaction. I can't even see. I have a hard time with teams who have not proved that they can go far in the playoffs. And especially like when you break down the particular players. If you click on a huge storyline right now, this entire season with the Sixers has been that Ben Simmons has taken a step back in role, not necessarily a step back in like how he's playing. It's working much better for them, obviously, but he is definitely not the front facing guy that he's been since he's been in the league. Their second leading scorer is Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm. So when you are in this extreme playoff setting, you are relying on a guy who, yes, has shot stupendously this season, but who the season before was also part of the reason that you were so bad. Joel Embiid, it's hard for me to put everything also in 2021 on a center and say, okay, we're going to win this playoff series. You have to win it for us, Willis to win. However, I completely agree with Jordan. He is playing out of his mind. I like tweeted 2 weeks ago a joke about him being the MVP favorite, and people were like, technically he's not. And so I was like, oh, like Vegas, they mean. And so I looked and like, he wasn't, but that's not even what they meant. They were just really offended by the question. And so I hope for his sake, he does win it. For me, it's just the Nets because they have the experience there. Kyrie and KD have both won championships. Harden, you got to think like kind of evens that out, like at least a half a point for one of them because he's so notoriously bad. But this is a wonderful opportunity for him in the playoffs. Like, you know, hopefully KD comes back shortly after the All-Star break to say, okay, I can make it far. He kind of has one of those KD moments where he joins another team that has a lot going on to then take it to his first title. But yeah, for me, defense has never mattered less. That's not to say I'm not super concerned about theirs still, even after the recent bump. But, you know, in 2021, if you're like, here are these three players on the team together, they don't have much going on at the center spot. And we're really worried about their defense. No one's really heard from Steve Nash. They have like a little, what are those things called? I'm like, not, my camera's not on Zoom, so they can't even see what I'm doing. What are those things called where it's like, you're acting out with a doll, like the doll speaking.
Ventriloquism. Yeah, ventriloquism.
Okay, in another world where I got a full 8 hours of sleep, that would have been a fan-fucking-tastic metaphor. That is what I see Steve Nash as right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, those things are all very concerning. They've never been less concerning in 2021, though. My gut instinct says it's the team with the guys who have won before that also have two of the league's top 8 players at any time with the third shortly behind. So yeah, that's it for me. It's the Nets. I have the boring take.
I mean, I think it's valid. My thing with the Nets, I think the rest of the East has to hope that the Nets kind of stop the Nets, right? Like, I mean, we've seen this movie with KD and ball dominant point guards before in OKC of like, I think your best chance to be Brooklyn is like Kyrie shoots 20 times, James Harden shoots 18 times, KD doesn't shoot enough times, just because KD is just so, so good. And I feel like the dislike of him kind of clouds people's perception of how good he actually is. And it really did not look like he took a step back at all coming back from that injury, which is great for the game. I hope that continues to be a trend with players when they get hurt, but also like freaking terrifying for every other team in the East. Like that is a confluence of star power that is just ridiculous. As an aside, my favorite Nash thing, and I can't confirm this personally, I think I heard it on the Low Post, is that he consistently refers to their roster as not defensively inclined, which is such a beautiful way of saying we don't have anybody who can play defense. Like, I need to start referring to my own shortcoming. Like, I'm not bad at this. Like, I'm just not inclined for it. Like, it's not different. Inclined. It's different. Like, it's just not my inclination.
I love that.
Yeah, that is perfect. It's the Nets for me. This is what we've seen like throughout NBA history, right? Like the teams usually with the best players usually end up winning. And the Nets have 3 2.5 studs.
Oh.
I mean, like if we're talking like top team
yeah,
players.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't feel like that's a hot take. But I will say, Haley, you were talking about this. Harden in the playoffs is fun. Last time Kyrie played Milwaukee in the playoffs, he decided to take it on himself to guard Chris and Giannis, and it did not go well for him at all. And they ended up losing 4 straight games.
He tried though. But
he did try. Got to give him credit for that. He was like, "Oh, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take the you know, the toughest assignment," even though he's not defensively inclined.
There you go. Exactly. You're quoting Steve Nash on that. That is not a hot take. That is just that you're just doing journalism.
Yeah. Perfect. But yeah, it's the Nets for me. Philly in the past has really been a fun watch, like Milwaukee versus Philly games, just as a general NBA fan. They're just amazing because Giannis and Embiid, they really go at it when they play against each other. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure the last couple matchups, Giannis has put up like 40, 50 and Embiid has like almost matched him. And they've been wild games. It turns into like a giant 1v1 to see who can outdo each other. So I want to see that matchup just to see that series because it would honestly be more entertaining than a Milwaukee Brooklyn series to me because those two teams have really played hard against each other in the past. And we haven't seen it yet this season. We're going to see it in the second half schedule if it ever happens. But I'm excited to see that because we've seen Milwaukee play Brooklyn once. Neither team was at full strength. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really a true matchup, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm just excited. If either of these matchups end up happening, nothing goes awry in the playoffs or any of these teams, it'll be fun no matter what.
It would be. And I think it would be interesting to have it, you know, spotlight two centers, just like what you were saying, Haley, like get rid of the guards, just throw it into the post the whole game. And I personally love old school centers. Do not stand on the 3-point line, get in the post, get in the paint. And I think that would be fun. I would love to see that.
So I feel like if we're talking about centers, we want to talk about kind of Giannis's MVP case, where it's at, if he even has a chance. But I think speaking of centers right now, I'm pretty sure it's a fairly even consensus that Jokic and Embiid are the two favorites. I know Jokic's team record isn't quite up there, but he just, you both mentioned the Denver game against Milwaukee. He annihilated the Bucks. This guy is unreal. And he's been very good for a long time, but I think he's just ascended to it. Now he got fit, he glowed up, and now he's on a whole new level. Props to him. It's aspirational to a lot of Wisconsinites, myself included. I hope I dominate on a Nikola Jokic level one day too. But do either of you think Giannis is he just going to be like fourth and fifth on random MVP lists, or will he have a real shot to take this thing after 2 in a row but no playoff success, which I know is weighing on a lot of people's minds?
Yeah, it does. I mean, before this year, Giannis was like LeBron in that unless there's something, some other major storyline cooking up or someone's having a particularly strong breakthrough season, he's going to be in the conversation by default every year. But I think the playoff exit last year was so underwhelming that despite it not being 100% him, of course, that does need to be shaken off to win a third. I mean, you have two under your belt. It's not the case for your first,
right?
Or I guess even your second, but definitely your third. I don't think you're winning a third MVP right now with all the other candidates we have if you cannot prove more of yourself in the playoffs. So definitely not for this year.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that win 3 MVPs in a row, like, geez, that would be amazing and unreal. I think there is just a lot of good players in the NBA this season. Like a lot of players are playing really well. And Jokic is one of those players that it's kind of, you know, night after night, you are wanting to see what he can do. What else did he add? How is he getting even better? So I think it's his race to lose. And yeah, maybe just not this year, but that doesn't mean that he's not still playing well. And he's still, you know, the MVP of his team, like heart, like consolation prize.
The real MVP is the bond the team made along the way.
It's the memories. It yeah. really Aww. Is.
I love this.
No, Giannis has said in the past, like his brothers have told him, like, even if you don't win MVP, you're an MVP of life. Like, that's a real thing that's been going on. So, like, I don't know. But Jordan, I'm glad you made up. You talked about the three straight MVPs. It's kind of impossible to win it three straight times. Like, three players have done it: Bill Russell, Wilt, and Larry Bird. So
solid list.
Yeah.
Hasn't been done since 84 through 86 by Bird. So it's basically impossible.
Yeah.
Voter fatigue is a thing.
Before the season, my take was the only way he's possibly going to get it is if the Bucks are on whatever a 70 win trajectory is on this wacko year. And he's like 40% from three and like a killer mid range game, because I feel like anything else he did, if he dunks 85 times a game and puts up Wilt numbers, I still think there was going to be a little bit of, we've seen it before, we're not buying it this year, like, let's latch on to somebody else. And honestly, I think even voter fatigue aside, I don't think he would be leading right now. The Bucks haven't been that good. Jokic has just been unbelievable. And Embiid's been really good. I think Embiid is still totally up there. But especially with voter fatigue, we would have had to see just an absolutely ridiculous Giannis that I think it's a little unfair expectations, but it's just how it is, right? Like, he didn't have to prove that he was the best player in the regular season. He would have had to done something that really proved to people during the regular season he could win in the playoffs, which is pretty impossible to do. Like, it would have to be a wild season with all new stuff from him. So I agree with you both. I don't think he's going to win it. I don't have a big problem with it. We got two in the last 2 years. I would much rather take a ring for sure. Even a trip to the finals would feel better to me than another MVP, as much as, you know, Giannis is, you know, great. And I love that. And the first episode of Spinsters. This is not a sponsored segment. I was not fed this. This is absolutely authentic. But I love that you both kind of a few times throughout kind of refer to like what brings you joy in basketball. And I think that's something basketball media, quote unquote, you know, whatever that means, doesn't focus on enough. Like, I think we get these questions about, like, what's the point of the regular season? Who cares? So every Giannis dunk, I try to tweet it and be like, this is why you watch. This is awesome. Like, this should bring you joy. It's super fun. Like, not most teams get a Giannis-type guy to enjoy like this. So, and obviously you don't have to be a Bucks fan to enjoy Giannis. But, so yeah, I had to make that connection. Like, our answer, I think, above all else, Bobby Portis is close, but Giannis, I think, brings us the most joy.
It is so much fun to watch him play. It's
Bobby Portis, I agree.
Oh, I thought we were still on Eric Bledsoe.
Oh,
well, that's a take. I'm rooting for Eric Bledsoe always. Yeah. Always. Have you, that man's smile is beautiful.
You and can
that's
say
the most
this.
Important thing.
I don't think you should say you're rooting for him always. Like, what if it broke tomorrow? Shams Charania tweets Eric Bledsoe traded back to Bucks. Would you really be? I guess you would be rooting for him. You don't want the
Bucks. At that
Bucks
point,
to
you'd have to be.
Yeah, you kind of. Yeah, I guess that's
just yeah. saying it to be as nice. As long as it's not yeah. the Lakers. I mean,
yeah, you should have said, like, he's going to the Lakers. He's going to Philly. He's going to Brooklyn.
Jordan was
he's
on the edge of her seat. She was like, well.
He is a clutch guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, no.
Don't so, put that out there. Speaking of trades, the segue is.
Dennis Schroeder doesn't extend.
I wanted Dennis Schroeder. Let's not talk about Dennis Schroeder. He's so chaotic. He's kind of. He's like. I think there's a little Bledsoe in him, but he's better.
Okay.
He's more consistent. More consistent.
I love Schroeder. I love
Schroeder.
That
I wanted him on the Bucks. Yeah.
I really love watching him play. I think he's like a tamer Westbrook. He's not as crazy, but he has the speed and he can. I don't know. We just needed a scoring point guard. I love Rondo with all my heart, but we needed someone to score. And it's even more evident now that AD is out. We cannot score the basketball. I love Schroeder.
His energy is so important. What you were saying about Westbrook is good. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, like LeBron can still score whenever he wants, but like you can't ask LeBron to, you know, score 30 a night every game in the regular season at age whatever. LeBron's just
100.
Yeah, it feels like 100, but he's still out like every year. I'll never forget the tweet in like 2011 or whatever that said, thank God we won't have to deal with LeBron in 2015, so he'll be 34. And now it's 2021 and he's still an MVP candidate. It's just ridiculous how good this guy is.
Oh. Haley has entered this chat. Of
I'm like, oh,
LeBron.
Interesting. go on.
It's easy to, I think. I still don't, he's not going to be properly appreciated for a while, I think, for a lot of reasons, but as much of an enemy as he is to the Bucks, as the great battles that they had over the last two regular seasons, it's always fun to watch LeBron be LeBron. He's so inevitable. It's just, I don't know.
That is his adjective for the day. Inevitable. That is the perfect one for him. He is inevitable. Yes.
I also want to do the
Mr. Adjective. By the time that Jordan and I are done with this show, which I don't know how many minutes we have left, so this is kind of putting you on the spot. We also would like adjectives. So just be thinking about that as you're going through this rundown.
Okay.
And you can't use indescribable three times.
No, no.
And inevitable doesn't feel like as much as a compliment when it's me or Jordan. So.
Yeah, I don't think I would go with inevitable. Jordan Liggins, inevitable. I don't know. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We mentioned trades earlier. I got to throw a topic to you two so I can think about these adjectives. Talking about trades, I don't think Eric Bledsoe is coming to the Bucks, but, you know, watching Milwaukee, seeing some issues, and it stinks. We firmed up this interview. The Clippers game happened. I was like, oh, great. It's going to be all good feelings around the Bucks. It's going to be so fun to talk about. And then the Denver game happens. And I was like, oh, well, that was a good idea while it lasted. But clearly there are some additions that would help. But, you know, do you think, is it worth it for Milwaukee to explore trades? Obviously, almost no assets, even less the NBA took away a second-round pick for some reason, for tampering or something with Bogdan Bogdanovic, the name we usually don't mention. Too much hurt. Ooh. But there's a lot going on there.
I was just thinking about that. Not to bring it up. No, should we not bring it up? Okay, let's not bring
it up. Ahead. Go ahead.
Because if, knowing that we were going to talk about trades, I was like, oh, it's obviously, like, if anyone's Dante. But,
yeah.
I mean, then you have to think about, oh, so why hasn't he been traded yet? And yeah.
the whole thing. I still don't think we have clear answers. I don't want to relitigate the whole thing for sure. I think Bucks fans have just been through it enough times. It's the new, you guys shouldn't have gotten rid of Malcolm Brogdon. It's like, yeah, we get it. Okay. Like,
which is still
sorry.
A thing.
It's still an active thing.
I'm so sorry about that.
I mean, I think Drew helps a lot. Because I think, I don't know, I don't want, like, what, current trade
don't,
targets.
Don't go down that road.
Yeah, current trade targets. Let's
yeah,
just
yeah, you got a hill. You got a hill.
We do. So you, from you two watching the Bucks, Brook Lopez looking a bit slower, the bench a little bit thinner, especially without George Hill. What kind of trades would you like to see Milwaukee make? You can be as specific or as vague as you'd like, because I know it's a little bit of a murky trade market
right
now.
Or should they make trades at all?
Yeah, or should they make trades at all? Good point, Rohan.
I don't think that it's to such a point where they should make a trade just to make a trade. Some teams always do that. Some franchises feel the need to overcompensate when it's really not going to help anything. I don't know what you could get right now that would help. I saw, what was this, like 2 weeks ago? Or maybe, I don't know, my mind is all over the place time-wise because I'm like on East Coast time and I'm working on Pacific time. Anyway, about PJ Tucker. Yeah. Is there any traction to that? That's interesting, but
he was linked to Milwaukee. I think that's all we've gotten.
That's like the weakest language possible that lets you know that one of my agent sources told me to put this out there. What word should I use? Link. Like, you could be linked for anything. Like, he liked a Yelp review of a restaurant in Milwaukee. I would have to say DiVincenzo makes the most sense to target for a spot to maybe find a replacement. If you're thinking just overall, you look at the roster and you're like, where do we absolutely need to improve? However, as I'm saying that, I mean, he is doing what you're asking of him, right? They're like, we need you to be the guy who shoots threes. Like, we absolutely need threes. Look at this guy. It's Giannis. This is your role. And now he does. And he even, like, specifically catch and shoot threes. So yeah, it's hard for me to say, like, throw him away. He's doing exactly what Milwaukee needs in that regard. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, like a knockdown shooter. But I think he's actually been kind of fun to watch this year. I love seeing his growth. I feel like he's on the up, which is good for him.
I feel bad saying this because it's like, well, fuck, if we can't let someone grow, what are we doing? Oh, sorry.
What are we doing? No, yeah, I see that. But I also feel like from a chemistry standpoint, like with Jrue Holiday and the couple additions that they made this year, they kind of need to go through some things just as a team first. And I think that would help them more than bringing in somebody else to put a Band-Aid on their issues when we all know, like, okay, head coach, we need some adjustments and you need to be better. I think that would, you know, let this team be and gel more together would probably be more beneficial for them, honestly.
For sure. As much as I'd like to see them continue the streak of getting a power forward who's going to underperform in the playoffs, a la Nikola Mirotic and Marvin Williams, Ersan Ilyasova coming back, maybe.
I think it's happening. I think it's happening.
Is it? Wait, do you actually?
I kind of do. I mean, he posts workout videos in Wisconsin. Like, he shot around in the snow, which if that's not like a – in Bucks gear. If that's not like a Bucks sign me, Bucks fans, you want me back, right move, I don't know what is. He's preening.
Yeah.
If it might honestly, work. It might work.
Yeah, it really is. So the streak might continue. Yeah. But, yeah, I have to agree with you, too. I don't really see, like, a major area where they can get someone who's available unless there's, like, someone who just out of the blue becomes available. And usually someone does. Like, you don't really expect some of these players to become available at the trade deadline, but everything's chaos at that time of the year. Yeah. So who knows, honestly, at this point. But I don't know. You're not going to just slap some flex tape on it and expect it to fix. Like, it's not going to work. If something's broken, just a small adjustment here or there, like in terms of personnel, isn't going to really fix a whole lot because they don't really have a whole lot to work with. So the only thing you could do is something small. So, and that's not going to, if something small is going to fix your problem, then you're not really assessing your problem correctly.
Yeah. I think the buyout market could be even bigger for the Bucks than the trade deadline, just because, I mean, Rohan, you mentioned like someone becoming available. Like, if it's a player of note, Milwaukee just won't be able to keep in the running. I mean, I keep targeting players on the Sacramento Kings just because just make poor decisions repeatedly. I mean, Luke Walton's still the coach. Lloyd Pierce gets fired before Luke Walton. Like, what are we doing here, Kings? I know Vlade's out now, but the spirit of Vlade still feels like it's there. Like, if they could steal Rashawn Holmes, I'd be about that. I'm not. I love Brook Lopez. So great over the last two regular seasons. And in the playoffs, too. Better than I think people remember. He's lost a step. And I think he's just at a point now, at a position and where the game is today, that step is really costly. And it's not just like, oh, he's out on the perimeter with, you know, X perimeter player and gets dusted. Like, fine. Like, you could live with, you would expect that. He's actually, to my eye test, which means nothing, has been okay when he gets switched out on the perimeter. He'll get blown by sometimes, but you can't expect Brook Lopez to clamp Kyle Lowry. It's just not going to happen. But like around the rim, he's just not impacting shots the same. And I think that's really what stands out. He's not quick enough anymore to block or even, you know, make a shooter reconsider a shot, which has really been detrimental to the Bucks. So like Rashawn Holmes, who's shooting 400% on floaters this year and is just more spry, I think would help. I mean, Giannis, Bobby Portis lineups have looked better defensively just because Bobby Portis is like agile and will at least like get somewhere quickly, even if it's the wrong place. Yeah, he can move. So I think a center is really what I'd be the most interested in to see them acquire, which is probably a good thing because, right, like the league just unfortunately, to Jordan's point of view, doesn't value centers the way it used to. It feels like there are more available than most positions, especially shooters. But I would be interested in that. I'm kind of out on PJ. I know it's a bad situation. The vibes are not good in Houston. The numbers are also not good. He's just not hitting
shots. Doesn't pass the vibe test. What center could you get, though?
I don't know. I would love Rashawn Holmes. If the Kings would hand the Bucks Marc Gasol.
You could have Marc Gasol. Like, love to gift that to you.
I thought you liked his defense. I thought his defense was good there. Not good enough.
Passing.
No. It was his passing. He's another point guard for us. But if you want another slower center at the end of their career, we'll be happy to give that to you.
We can collect them all. Is he scoring it's a ridiculous number, right? It's like 2 points. It's something wild. Is it higher than I think? I thought Marc Gasol's points per game is just like and it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even process.
He'll hit a three once every blue moon. I haven't witnessed him even attempting a layup.
I just
or blocking a 4.8 shot.
4.8 points per game.
Okay, not as low as I thought, honestly. It's almost five. I just the thing I love about Marc Gasol this year is like people who are clearly Marc Gasol fans, when they talk about Lakers Marc Gasol, it's not that he can't. It's very Nashian. It's not that he can't score. He doesn't even want to shoot. He's not even interested in shooting.
It's like he's beyond that.
Yeah,
that's like, what I've been preaching. Like, oh,
so last
you don't
year
need
him.
Me to score. When you need me, I'll come out. But I'm a passer. This is what you need me to
do. I'm going
to
hit guys on backdoor cuts all day or nothing.
It's a higher calling.
He moved to the big city and is just like really experimenting with what he wants to do, not what he's had to do his whole life.
Also, fun basketball reference nickname for Marc Gasol, Big Burrito.
I thought Big Spain was, is that Pau?
I think that, no, he is also listed as Big Spain.
Can you imagine your brother gets Big Spain and you get Big Burrito? That's awful.
That has to be an inside joke. Come on.
Does he look
like a burrito? No.
He does now. He does now. I think you can't trust B-ball ref nicknames. Brandon Jennings, the pterodactyl, really.
Okay.
Sure.
Has my anyone ever?
I was going to say, I've never heard that.
It's not a real. It's basketball reference. It's not real. Yeah. Jordan, what's your favorite?
I was going to say, I learned, and I don't know where I was. Maybe I was living under a rock, but I learned Andrew Wiggins was the Maple Jordan from basketball reference. And I didn't know that was a thing. And
I remember that one from when he was, I remember that his rookie year.
Yeah. It was
like from his high school mixtapes, I think they were calling him that.
Did they try to steal that for RJ Barrett? Or did he have a different one?
No, every Canadian that's had promise has been called
Maple Jordan. Yeah.
But most prominently, I think, Andrew Wiggins.
No, I think Wiggins definitely was. I mean, there was so much. Wiggins should be. Let's not talk about Andrew Wiggins. There's so
We don't have to go on there.
But yeah, aside from Marc Gasol, maybe a JaVale buyout potentially, if that happens, which I don't think it will. I think they're going to get value for him on a trade market. But let's say they get a buyout somehow. Maybe JaVale.
That's just, I mean, it's fine.
He's been good.
I think uninspiring is the word. I don't know.
That is the word. Adjectives hits it again. I was like, wham, what is that? And then you said uninspiring. That is exactly that. It would be perfectly fine, but nothing wonderful.
What's funny is like my expectations for the Bucks trade market are so low. I proposed a JaVale McGee trade on this very podcast like a month ago. DJ Wilson for JaVale McGee. Very, very much a why not trade. I don't know if it helps either team. Probably helps the Bucks. They will never play DJ Wilson. And he'll go and thrive in Houston like Sterling Brown is now. But I digress. That's Bucks pain right there.
It's just,
I love how you are pointing to the Sacramento Kings. I'm from Sacramento. I'm in Sacramento right now. And I love how it's just like, let's us small markets just help each other out. Let's just talk on a separate line from everybody else. And let's just switch.
Just cut Harrison Barnes, eat his contract, and then send him to Milwaukee.
Harrison Barnes is like, if he goes to a good team, I think people are going to really appreciate Harrison Barnes for the first time in a few years.
Yeah.
Good player.
We were talking in like the failed Bogdan trade that Harrison Barnes might be included in. We were really excited about that. But yeah, no way is he getting. Actually, isn't Kings, but yeah.
They're not going to buy out. Come on, Rohan.
He's
come
like,
on.
Actually.
They're not going to buy out. Like,
never sell yourself never. Whatever dream you need.
I know. I love you talking yourself into that.
I pretty much what we have to do here.
I hype myself up when doing these podcasts, like just in terms of like I talk myself into things a lot.
As you should.
We have to, right? Like lost in 5 games in the second round last year with the 2-time reigning MVP. Like, why would we live in the real world at this point? It's not kind to us. It's not good to us.
Yeah.
We do what we have to do.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any more big NBA topics, or can we jump into our next segment, Ty?
Oh, thank goodness. I forgot about the last quick segment. I'm only one adjective done. So please do the segment. Go ahead, Rohan.
Okay. So we have a segment on the show called Choose Your Fighter, where Ty and I take turns asking each other or guests, just sort of like you give random like 3 options to any question. It could be basketball related, could be food, just anything. And you have to come up with a good answer. So my Choose Your Fighter for this week, this is sort of, it's not really that relevant, but let's say
I tried.
Let's say, I can connect it. I really enjoy the Spinster's name. It's a great name for this podcast that you guys are doing. It's amazing. I love the branding of it. It's perfect. So I was thinking, how do you go about naming something? Let's say you discover something, discover a planet, discover a new animal, discover anything. Are you going to name it after yourself? Are you going to name it after someone else? Are you going to give it like a, you know, generic science-y nickname, like name? Like, is it going to be factual? Is it going to be for you? Or is it going to be for someone else?
It's a thing of legend on this podcast. We switch off doing the choose your fighter. When it's my turn, I'm like, blue Gatorade, red Gatorade, green Gatorade, go. When it's Rohan's turn, he's like, imagine you're a small child and the sun
and
has just
gravity's removed.
Like, I love that the lead-ins. It's like, I'm in a whole other universe. I just ruined it, but I'm such a big fan of how you get there.
You name it after somebody else.
Someone else what?
Because it is the ultimate gift. And that is such a special thing to give to somebody. If the thing you are naming does not then turn bad in the future. If this is like a new oil rig and you're like, I'm going to name this after my mom. And then later people are like, we need to stop fracking. You know, then she looks kind of bad. But if it is something as glorious as a new planet, yes. What a wonderful thing for somebody you appreciate so much.
Now I'm just thinking of like oil rig Gretchen and like and these like rugged oil rig workers. Like, yeah, I'm going to Gretchen today. It's going to be a hard day out there.
Is
but
anyone
we can
name
do it.
Gretchen anymore? Like, do people so. Like name their so. Kids? Like, oh, what's your new baby's name, Gretchen? Like, is
I
that
think,
a thing?
I think, I don't know.
No, name one of the ladies. I think Gretchen is probably stopped after the 2000s would
Same
be
with
my
Keith.
Guess.
Keith, yeah, I don't know. I never want to diss a name because, like, what if we have a diehard listener fan named Keith and he's listening? He's like, I'm never listening to this podcast again.
Statistically, you probably do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a common name.
Way to go, Rohan. Yeah, we just lost the Keith demographic.
You know what? If you're listening to this and your name is Keith and you feel offended, just hit me up on Twitter and we'll figure it out.
He's like going to Venmo you.
I'm doing what? Okay, Jordan, what's your naming convention?
I feel kind of bad after hearing Haley's. I
Jordan's
would
like,
it's
called Jordan.
Name it. Yeah, I'd probably name it after myself. I think I would. But only, you know, after you said your mom, I was like, yeah, I would definitely name it after one of my parents. But I think, you know, legacy-wise, you want it to say, okay, this is called the Jordan, and she loved her parents, and here's her backstory and everything.
Right.
But I think it would be pretty cool to say, like, you know what? I found this planet. I don't want to give anyone else credit for this specific thing. I'm going to name it myself. And I don't know what that says about me. I swear I'm not, like, a selfish person.
True story. The original name for our podcast was The Jordan Liggins Show.
No.
With Haley O'Shaughnessy.
That is not true. That
I wasn't
going to
say
true.
Anything, but it just seemed relevant.
I heard true. The story of the actual first name, and I think I prefer the Jordan Liggins podcast with Haley O'Shaughnessy to the other one. No, now I've gone and offended another name. I can't stop now.
What?
No,
all baskets, yeah. No balls. Luckily for you, I don't think any of your listeners are named All Baskets, No Balls. So
I guess I was more worried about offending whichever one of you two or whoever else came up with it.
One of our producers, Alex, said that when we were like trying so hard to come up with things because it's hard. We wanted to be like, hey, we love basketball, and like it would be cool if we could make some kind of a spin on it that had something witty to do with the fact that we're not just more dudes in this space. No offense, I love you guys.
It's fine. Yeah, we get it. We get it.
No, we do. We really do.
He said that, and like we were in this moment where I was like, okay, that's something. Like we should really like think about that. I wrote it down. Yeah, but no, thank God that didn't happen. Close second to the Jordan Liggins Show.
That is false.
Wait, Rohan, what's your answer?
I was gonna wait for Ty. I was gonna wait for Ty to answer, and then I'll answer.
It's tough. I'd probably name it after me. And I would lie about it and use Haley's logic of like, what if it goes horribly wrong? I'll just have my name attached to it, not yours. Listen, if I find the planet, it's Thai planet, and it is what it is. And I'm sorry, but like I found a planet and I just feel like I would just like some recognition for finding the planet. So I am selfish. So I'm going to lean into it. I feel like no one is going to be shocked by this answer listening to the podcast, and I'm okay with it. Like I have a brand. The brand is like, I stink, but it's still a brand. So Tie Planet.
That's not your brand. No, your brand is just that you're representing, you're caring for yourself and all of your hard work, and you're proud of the work that you've put in. I also love how we're all like, oh, it has to be a planet, because that's definitely the most realistic thing that we're all going to find.
Walk up to a telescope, look through it. Oh, there it is.
Why not? You know, with all the telescope.
A planet or an oil rig. Those are the two options for things you can name. That's it.
Yeah. I'm definitely naming it after myself, whatever it is. It's an animal, anything. I'm naming it after myself. Completely agree with you, Jordan. Legacy is important. And also celebrate yourself, everyone. Take time.
Yes.
Celebrate yourself. You did something good. You should be appreciated for it.
I love that, yes. That logic.
I do too. A little pat on the back. I don't think personally I do that enough. So yeah. Naming something after myself would be the biggest pat on the back that I could give. So I agree.
Yeah. And history will remember that. You live
for better or for worse.
Hopefully for better.
Probably for both. On,
if it's any of us,
how the thing turns out.
Okay. Ty, you have some adjectives to talk.
Yeah, I do. I do. It's not my best work. I'm going to go the thoughtful Haley O'Shaughnessy, because I just feel like every issue on this podcast, like, you've come to someone's defense in such a nice way. And I was like, I felt I kind of put myself on an island. I leaned into being selfish, maybe facetiously, maybe not. And you're like, no, it's important. It's self-care. And I was like, oh, she's right. It is. I'm not a bad person at all. So I appreciate that.
That's perfect. Thank you.
That makes so me very good. Happy. Spot on.
We're going to see if Jordan likes hers. This is partly an illusion. You did say you were a point guard, and I do feel like my first thought was calculating. It's not calculating. I feel like that has negative kind of, like, right? It's got bad connotations.
Are you hating on math right now?
No, that's...
I'm horrible at math, so that would actually
okay, so
be
good.
Did you all see
hilarious.
Candace Parker do math on live TV last
goodness.
Night?
That
no,
was
I just
yeah,
saw her,
I don't
I saw
have
her
the confidence
check.
To do, like, simple addition on live TV. I'm not even on live
so
TV. So yeah, it was just she literally did division.
I know.
That was
like,
crazy.
I'm currently doing a master's in public health and biostatistics, and I can't confidently do addition in front of other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Me neither.
When I go to the pharmacist, sometimes I can't remember my address. Like, you're gonna, she did math on live TV. Anyway, yes. Calculating, I think, actually would in her case, having seen what I saw last night. Would be a compliment, but sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
It'd be good for Candace. If Candace come on the Eurostep, I will call you calculating in the most positive
calculating
way.
Calculating Candace? Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's got a ring to it.
It does. But point guard of the pod, Jordan Liggins, cerebral. I feel like you think things through. I feel like all your takes are well thought out. I fire off takes. Sometimes I realize halfway through it doesn't make sense. I like the cerebral approach a lot more. I feel like it's very, I don't know, it's a good look.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This is the trade. You give us too much of your time and you get good adjectives. And I feel like it's not the worst conversion rate out there.
No, that's a good word.
That is
nice
a good
word. I need to add that to my lexicon.
Big vocab guy over here. Okay. Rohan, it's your time to shine part two. Part a thousand.
It's not though. Haley, Jordan, talk to us about spinsters.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good call. Good call. Plug the pod.
Our new podcast, Spinsters, is on the Blue Wire Network. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. It is Jordan and I talking about basketball just like this, NBA, WNBA, whatever cool basketball stories we come across. We have some of our favorite reporter friends coming on and telling stories sometimes. Sometimes we are taking dives through history. And is this going up tonight or tomorrow?
Probably early tomorrow.
Okay, well, we have an episode up then technically today, I guess, if we're talking about this going up Thursday, that is just that. It is a history lesson.
Yes. Awesome. And socials, where can everybody find? I mean, I'm sure everyone who's listening knows about you both already, but just in case there is one person out there.
Get out from under the rock.
Yeah, get yourself together, please.
Our podcast is at Spencer's BW. My Twitter is at Haley O something. And Jordan, yours is Jordan or at underscore Jordan Liggins, right?
Yep.
That says how much I look her up. My adjective should have been creep.
No. I love it. Yes. Follow us, like us, subscribe. It's going to be a fun time.
I have Rohan's handle memorized. No, definitely not. It's a tremendous podcast. I'm so excited for the episode that is out right now. You should go listen to and for all future episodes for sure. Just quickly before Rohan does the outros, before I hand it off. Haley, just one of the all-time Twitter ads. I've always been such a fan. I've never had a chance to say it. Haley, it's just good. I like the clever Twitter ads. I always have. So great Twitter ad. I'm boring, just the name, but Haleo something is gold.
Thank you. It's out of need because nobody would be able to find my Twitter if it's my real last name.
That's fair. That's pragmatic.
Yeah, all the names are taken for my ad, so I had to throw a junior in there. It's fine. It's whatever. But yeah. I guess I should do the outro now. Make sure all of you are subscribed to Spinsters. Make sure you're following both of these wonderful people on Twitter. Follow all the socials. Just smash the support. I know the support has already been wild for this podcast already, but it's not enough. It'll never be enough because this is going to be an incredible run and I can't wait to see it unfold. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the aforementioned Blue Wire Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe, leave a rating, do all that fun stuff. Tell your family and friends about the show and Spinsters. I can't plug this enough. Please stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.